Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There and welcome to another episode of Mysteries of the Unexplained. Yes, bitch, we're back. We had a little trial episode with Will's first edition back. Let's just say it was a bit hit and miss, but I'm back now. I was always a professional of the group, and I am going to scare you senseless with a little story about one of my favourite subjects, the Loch Ness Monster.
A relation, I believe.
Now, it hasn't been proven yet, but we may share some DNA. Yeah, we may be of the same genetic origin. Yeah. And you, I believe, William, you're related to some kind of marsupial, some kind of scrawny, flea-infested marsupial prone to rabies that lives in the lower Amazon, I believe.
I definitely a meerkat. There's definitely a bit of meerkat in me somewhere. Like it's definitely along the way there, and also like a mousy kind of creature as well. I think.
Yeah, like
you're like straight up water hog though. Like straight up.
Okay, I was going to say erratic movements, big googly eyes, prone to rabies, and you're like, I'm a water hog. Like, you always have to take it, like, just a little bit too far. Go fuck yourself. I hope you guys are enjoying us being back.
You better not come for me.
Finish her. We just missed each other a bit, I think, and in reality, we didn't talk as much when we weren't recording, so it was save the friendship and go back to record the podcast or live a life apart. Who knows which one is better, but here we are.
Accurate.
Yes, so today I am bringing you a little story about Nessie herself. Now, well, you know that I might have had a little encounter this year that brought Nessie even closer to my heart, maybe even physically so, but that's for later on in the episode. But just a little question for you. Do you, in general, when I say Nessie, yes or no, what do you think? Like, would you like automatically say yes or no?
I want to believe, but I think no. I just think no.
Okay. Well, I kind of would. I'm kind of the same as you.
And that wraps up today's episode.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening. I'm the same as you, but I don't know. I might have changed my mind over the summer, and I'll fill you in on why. But first of all, I'm just going to give you a little bit of history of Nessie herself. Like, I'm sure you've all seen a few pictures, and I think there's a little bit of contention over whether some of these pictures have actually been found as real or fake. So let's just clear that up. Number one, right? But, first of all, did you know that the origins of Nessie and the first time she was ever talked about go back as far as the fucking 6th century? 6th century! Like, and the Irish were involved. No matter where you go in the world, and no matter what kind of hokey-pokey shite is going on, there's some big Irish eejit with their head up in the middle of it, isn't there, though?
Yeah, we do have a tendency to get in the middle of stuff and kind of crop our heads up and be like, hello, hello, It's probably quite annoying, to be honest with you. Like, can we not just stick to our own small island and just fucking get on with it? No, we had to be like, sorry, what's going on here? But that has followed through to today's present day nosiness, general nosiness. I was going to say it's more prevalent in rural Ireland, but it's not. It's everywhere.
No, it's not. General nosiness and general, like, having to photobomb every fucking photo that's ever taken and get your big, stupid Irish head up in it. Like, I just can't, like, we're like vermin. Like, you just can't get rid of us. But anyway, right, this story will highlight such fact. The earliest report of a monster in the vicinity of Loch Ness appears in the Life of St. Columba by Adamnan, written in the 6th century AD. According to Adamnan, writing about a century after the events described, Irish monk St. Columba was staying in the land of the Picts with his companions when he encountered local residents burying a man by the River Ness. They explained that the man was swimming in the river when he was attacked by a water beast that mauled him and dragged him underneath despite their attempts to rescue him by boat. Columba sent a follower, Ligna MacNamin, to swim across the water. The beast approached him, but Columba made the sign of the cross and said, "Go no further. Do not touch the man. Go back at once." The creature stopped as if he had been pulled back by ropes and fled, and Columba's men and the Picts gave thanks for what they perceived as a miracle. Now, does this story ring bells to a little Irish paddy like yourself?
No. I don't know if it... I don't know.
St. Patrick and the Snakes. What?
Never heard of him. St. Hugh. Next you'll be telling me that there'll be a, there's a day devoted to him and that he's celebrated across the lands.
Yeah, so this story, right, like, there was all these stories of saints back in the day that went over and Jesus, they got rid of the Snakes and they got rid of the Nessie and they got rid of, I really wish they'd get rid of fucking those black house spiders that keep coming into my mobile home and fucking terrorizing me. But that is another story. So you'd take that with a grain of salt.
I have to say, you know, I do know that people that have a phobia of spiders, and I get it. But you have a hatred towards spiders.
Yeah.
It's not a phobia. It's not really fear. It's a hatred, which I find a little bit unnerving. What kind of person are you? That's God's creature. I get if you're afraid of them. Like, I'm afraid of rats. But I don't have a hatred towards them, Annie.
Oh, but would you let a rat crawl around your fucking bedroom ceiling in the middle of the night, Will? Making a little tippy-tappy sound with your little rat sensors going off and fucking freak. No, you wouldn't. And I actually resent the accusation. I don't hate them. They're just the devil's coachmen. And I hate them, right? Okay, yeah, now shut up, right? So, let's see if there's any more, you know, convincing evidence than this fella who wrote a book 100 years after the other fella said it and was trying to, you know, Bible bash. The best known article that first attracted a great deal of attention about the creature was published in May 1933 in the Inverness Courier about a large beast or whale-like fish. The article by Alex Campbell, local water bailiff for Loch Ness and a part-time journalist, I see how that was working in his favour, discussed a sighting by Aldi Mackay of an enormous creature with the body of a whale rolling in the water in the loch while she and her husband John were driving on the road. And the word monster was first applied to Nessie herself. Here's what Aldi says. The creature disported itself, rolling and plunging for fully a minute, its body resembling that of a whale and water cascading and churning like a simmering cauldron. Soon, however, it disappeared in a boiling mass of foam. Both onlookers confessed that there was something uncanny about the whole thing, for they realised that here was no ordinary denizen of the depths, because apart from its enormous size, the beast, in taking the final plunge, sent out waves that were big enough to have caused a passing steamer to wobble. Apparently Mackay shouted out, "Stop the beast!" Now, well, if you saw something jumping around in the water and kind of like something that you weren't really sure that it was, would you initially ascribe the term beast to it?
No, I wouldn't. I'd only do that if I seen the eyes and the head of something.
Yes.
Then I'd be like, it's a beast. If it was just you swimming and it was the top of your head, your bun going in the water, I might say beast. But you know, I'd probably say it under my breath and at the back of a crowd just to get them to join in too. But no, if I was on my own and just seeing it, no, I wouldn't. Your Honor, I wouldn't.
You've often called me a beast when I've been dressed up for a night out. And I only asked you that about the beast thing because this lady later confessed that she had...
I never called you a beast on a night out. I would never do that, Annie. I would never. You are a dog. People are going to be thinking now I'm like, you're a beast tonight, innit? I'm not like that.
Have you ever called me...
Annie, take that back.
Have you ever called me a triangle-haired beast the next morning?
Yeah, but for valid reason, and you know why.
This lady says that she had heard stories about the beast in the vicinity beforehand, which makes you kind of think, okay, like, was it just you did see something, like maybe like a really big otter or a fox or something, and then you were like, oh, it's the beast, I'm going to get my name in the paper. I don't know, but that's what my cynical mind thinks. In 1933, George Spicer and his wife saw a most extraordinary form of animal cross across the road in front of their car. They described the creature as having a large body, a high neck, about 8 metres long. What? A long, wavy, narrow neck. That's like you, Will. Slightly thicker than an elephant's trunk. Yours is a bit thinner. And as long as the 10 to 12 foot width of the road. They saw no limbs. It lurched across the road to the loch 20 yards away, leaving a trail of broken undergrowth in its wake. Spicer described it as the nearest approach to a dragon or prehistoric animal that I have ever seen in my life. It had a long neck which moved up and down in the manner of a scenic railway. In the manner of a scenic railway.
What?
Yeah, you seem scared out of your life. It also had an animal in its mouth. A body that was fairly big with a high back, but if there were any feet, they must have been of the webbed kind. And as for a tail, I cannot say, as it moved so rapidly, when we got to the spot, it had probably disappeared into the loch. Now, I find this account kind of fascinating, because I've never heard of Nessie out of the water.
Yeah, I've never heard of Nessie out of the water either. This is new evidence and new encounters that you're bringing the audience and me today, Annie. And I hope for your sake that you did not make this up, because you have a tendency to. I spoke to your teachers in primary school and secondary school, and they said, away with the fairies is how they described you.
I would like to state for the record that that case was settled outside of court, and my lawyer has informed me that it would be best practice not to speak about it any further. So I'll just continue with my story. Have you seen the photo, the really famous photo of Nessie? A black, grainy kind of photo with a little, what looks like a Brontosaurus neck just like popping up out of the water. It's one of the most famous ones of it. I've sent it to you there, and I'll put it up for you guys to see on the FB page and on our Instagram. So you've seen this one before.
Yeah.
Now, Will, true or a hoax?
Oh, like 100% a hoax. Like, it's, first of all, it looks like it's tiny against the waves. And then when you actually, like, see that bigger picture you have beside it, it looks like it's a rubber ducky with elongated neck. Or, like, someone with a gay hand doing a fucking swan.
Oh, he looks like that guy sprinkling the salt.
Actually, yeah.
Totally. Oh, we have to do a little Photoshop of that. So this is one of the most famous photos. And it is sad to think, but it was actually proven as a hoax. But there's a really funny story behind it. So this guy called Marmaduke Wetherill was a very famous big game hunter. And he had been hired in 1933 by the Daily Mail to find Nessie. So off he went with his big gun. Up to Scotland to find Nessie. And this is the bearing of his expedition. He came back with this photo, and for years and years and years it was taken as the best photo of Nessie, because there had been some prior to this, but they were very grainy and blurry and unclear and hard to know like what you were looking at. One that people said that was Nessie was actually purportedly a photo of a dog carrying a stick swimming in the water. So, but this photo is called a surgeon's photograph, because at the time the guy who handed it to the media was a surgeon who didn't want to be named. He later was named as Robert Wilson. So in 1994, 60 years after it graced the pages of the Daily Mail, Christopher Sperling verified the photograph as a hoax by admitting his own involvement in his production. Sperling was the stepson of Marmaduke Wetherill. He returned from his expedition with evidence of enormous footprints leading from the lake's shore into the water. However, the Natural History Museum researchers concluded that the tracks had been made with a dried hippo's foot, which were popular umbrella stands at the time. This guy had taken his umbrella stand. This guy had taken his umbrella stand and brought it out to the banks beside the loch and had tried to impersonate a fucking 20-foot monster. Yeah. And he had got Sperling involved. Sperling revealed that the photo was a hoax. He explained that Wetherill had enlisted his help to create a model of the monster's neck and place it on a toy submarine. Robert Kenneth Wilson was chose to give the photograph to the media because of his trusted reputation as a doctor to clear up any idea that it actually was a real photo. They had gotten together in their garage and made this little putty kind of paper mache head of Nessie, put it on a toy submarine, and went out and took a few photos of him and blew them up.
I love that. Do you know, like, people, oh, what did you get up to for the weekend? And the two of them just been like looking at each other, been like, nothing, but little, but absolutely wrecked with tiredness because they've been fucking up to no good. Imagine their wives. What are you doing? What is it? A submarine with a head? You want to take that to make tracks of a hippo? What? Like, it'd be more believable to say that they were having an affair with each other. It's so weird. Totally. They obviously have more money than sense as well.
Oh, like, yeah.
To be just arsing around for this.
But I tell you one thing, I bet the Daily Mail paid him handsomely for his little puppet expedition.
I don't know, Annie, like, they don't pay as much as you think. I tried to sell that story about you and they weren't interested at all. They said £5.50 and I said £550 and they said, no, £5.50. And I said, oh. And I just said, listen, I'm going to shop around and see.
Yeah.
And they'll say, listen, they said, listen, you won't get a better price. I said, I'm going to go to the Sun. And they said, off you go. I went to the Sun and they said £4.50. So I just left the story because it was more hassle than anything.
That's really disappointing because I wasn't wearing any knickers that day.
I know, but I think that's the thing. I think it was too graphic. I think it was too, like, too much. It actually was repulsing people. And that's why they were like, no, our readership's going to go down. We don't want this type of content. And I was like, but please, please, please. And they were like, no, we don't want to push Nessie's private parts on the front page.
Are you quite finished? Are you quite finished? Because I want to move on from the Loch Ness puppet and tell you about the Loch Ness Muppet. Yes, in 1977, Anthony Doc Shields, camping next to Urquhart Castle, which is a ruined, beautiful castle on the shores of Loch Ness, took some of the clearest pictures of the monster till this day. Shields, a magician and psychic, claimed to have summoned the animal out of the water. He later described it as an elephant squid, claiming the long neck shown in the photograph is actually the squid's trunk and that a white spot at the base of the neck is its eye. Due to the lack of ripples, it has been declared a hoax by a number of people and received its name, the Loch Ness Muppet, because of its staged look. Now, this is probably the second most famous photo of it, and it's a colour photograph, and it actually looks like a still from, what's that kids' movie, The Land Before Time? It looks like the cartoon dinosaur out of that. This fucking cowboy, this fella, was like, I'm a magician. I'm going to play my little flute and get this fella like to pop up out of the water for me. And he came back with this photo, which can only be described as the artwork of a 5-year-old. But people believed it.
Oh, artist is throwing shade at another artist.
But look, I don't want to be filling you full of stories about hoaxes, because there are people out there who have sworn to have seen Nessie with their eyes. And here's a little bit of tape from 1938 when an investigator went to Scotland to talk to some of the locals that had seen Nessie. And if you just press play there, Will, at about, let me see now, what's the time?
Oh, it's very regal music or something.
On the 21st of July, 1930, I was fishing off Tor Point at the north end of the loch and opposite the village of Dawes. The sound of splashing attracted our attention, and approximately 600 yards away, we observed spray being flung into the air by some dark creature on the surface of the water.
I'm convinced of the reality of the presence of a monster, or more properly, of a family of monsters in the loch. Firstly, because I myself saw a monster. Three considerable humps appeared in line in the water and moved obliquely at great speed in a northwesterly direction. I mention a family of monsters since it seems impossible for one to have survived for long. And since the evidence points to there being several, I have seen the monster five.
Well, first of all, that priest is a homosexual. I'm a homosexual, so I can say that. Second of all, he saw a whale. He saw a family of whales. Would you please, please get down off the altar, Father? Please. I saw a monster. And as I say, a family of monsters, because I'm sassy as fuck. And I fucking say what I want. And you can say what you want about me, but it's not true. I like women.
I also think that the way they spoke, and this is actually the way the Queen spoke up until her death, or RIP, Her Royal Majesty.
A family of monsters. I believe that there were a family of monsters, as one monster would not have lived so long.
Sorry, where do you learn to speak like that? Not up in the fucking Scottish Islands, I can tell you that.
Very, very posh.
Very posh. Now, I want you to listen to this other local lady.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets.
In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
For a few seconds, like a big island in the water. Then he disappeared. I often look for him since, but I have never seen him.
I was out on the balcony here with three friends and saw the monster in the water. It was a bright, sunny day, and I got the surprise of my life. What I saw was its head and neck for 20 minutes moving from side to side. The sun's rays seemed to magnify the creature's eye.
I saw a head appear. I really thought it was a seal's head, but the head rose right out of the water, about 2 feet. He was, in fact, eating a fish. He put his head down to the water, and then I could see a hump rise, not very much above the water, and another hump behind that, not quite so large, at the front hump.
We're talking about seals here, I presume, are we? Or eels? I don't know. Like, why these people have lost the run of themselves. Like, I feel like they're going to be like, there was a creature in the sky and it had two wings and it was flapping around. And I believe it was a monster of the air. And it was also going around and it was making a noise like, caw, caw, caw. I believe it was trying to talk to me. But I don't know what kind of language it was speaking because I don't know what a monster of the air speaks. There was also a lady that appeared from the bush. Her name was Annie, I believe. She had a bun on her head and she had a lot of hair on her body and she scared me. My child looked at her and she started crying. I also started crying and my husband said, quick, get in the house. It's Bigfoot's wife.
I don't know why they have a Welsh accent in the Scottish Highlands.
That's really weird that was in the BBC audio file from the 1938. How old are you?
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it is weird, isn't it? It's kind of gas because now we have everything at our fingertips. So like we can look up something. Like if somebody said the name of an animal, you'd be like, what the fuck is that? And you can look it up in a split second, you know what it is. But if you encounter it like without like any of the knowledge that we possess today, which is like so easily accessible, you would be probably like, it's a monster. All right, you a monster.
Yeah, and that's the way it's kind of gone over the years. It's gone back and forth and back and forth. There have been some things that have been categorically like exposed as hoaxes, and they have been. But then there's other footage that you can look at. Like there's so many videos online that you're like, okay, I don't really know what that is, but I can't see a dinosaur dragon shaped monster, but I don't know what it is. But I suppose you could say that about a lot of things. It's really funny. There's this guy who worked on the lock for years. I don't know if he's still there. His name is George Edwards. And he said back in the 60s, or was it the 60s or the 80s? Let me check this now and have it right. I don't need people coming after me that now are pension age and they need a little bit more money because the electricity is all going up, you see.
Going to be cancelled.
He said, yeah, back in the 80s that he had seen this picture and you can see it online and apparently he says it's real. But then he came along in the 20-teens, I think it was 2016, that he had caught another picture of the monster. But when he was, questioned under duress about it by a local journalist, he finally admitted that he had made it all up. Not about the first photo, he still maintains that that's real, but about the second one, he admitted that it's a lump of fiberglass upside down that they put in there while they were filming like an account of the Loch Ness Monster, and it was never meant to be anything other than a prop. But here is your man, George Edwards, telling everyone that it's real and using it to get visitors onto the boat up in Loch Ness, telling them that he had a picture of the Loch Ness Monster.
Trying to get the money in. Getting that money in the door. Get it in the door right now. He's looking to go for a few points at the weekend. Get the money fucking in.
Get the money in. And on that point, he says that having fibbed about his evidence that he had apparently sent to the US for analysis, Edward is disdainful of so-called experts, saying that he still believes in Nessie and that he just used the picture to gain a little bit more notoriety for the area. He insists there is no such thing as an expert on Loch Ness. There are people with an opinion. They keep on talking about big fish or big waves being responsible for monster sightings. People don't come to Loch Ness to see big fish or big waves. The sergeant's picture, that's the original picture, the black and white grainy one that is has been exposed as a hoax, has been the most iconic image for the whole of Loch Ness industry. Even people who have a go at me use it as part of their corporate image. And in another article about the tourist industry in Loch Ness, I read that it brings in 41 million for Scotland every year.
41 wow. million. Keep it going.
Keep it going. I suppose if your job did depend on it, then, well, now this guy was a little bit cheeky about it, but I guess if you're feeding your family from it, like, it's hard times, Will. Like, you've got to keep the money in. Like, we're making this podcast.
I love the way you're equating this podcast to a fucking made up paranormal creature in a lake where people are robbing other people of money. So we're okay. Yeah, I don't really agree with it, to be honest with you. But I think, like, it's now, like, so famous that it's grown its own legs and is a fucking land animal at this stage. Like, it's crawled all over the world and everybody knows about it.
Yes.
Do you know? But it's gassed away, like, it's gassed away, like, people just see the slightest little flicker on the lake and then are like, oh my God, it's the Loch Ness Monster. Her. Whereas if you looked at any lake, you would probably see, like, far more activity. You wouldn't be equating it to a fucking prehistoric creature.
No.
Even though I love dinosaurs and I wish it was like a dinosaur that lived under the water type thing.
Yeah, no. And just as you said, that, funnily enough, is what I had in my mind when I went to Loch Ness this year. Me and Dave went over and did a bit of the Highlands for a few days. And I always wanted to swim in Loch Ness because I love a bit of the old, you know, swimming outdoors. And I was like, I'm going to swim in Loch Lomond, which is a smaller lake down near to Glasgow. And then when we go up to the Highlands, I'm going to swim in Loch Ness. So off we went anyway. And I had my little swim the first day that I got there. And oh, can I just tell you this as well? It was so fucking hard to get into that loch because, like, it is, because it's fresh water, there's a certain type of algae on it. And, like, Dave was at the side and I was there trying to get in. And, like, the rocks were so slippy. Like, so, so slippy. And, like, I couldn't get a foothold. What I had to do was, like, keep my flip-flops on until I got into the water to a certain point and then fling them back at the shore to Dave where he had to try and catch them and keep them there for me. And then when I was getting out, he had to fling them back at me so I could walk out. The underfoot was the slimiest, like, spongiest kind of weird growth that I have ever, like, felt in my life. It was really hard to get past the shallow water into the depths where I could have a swim. But then when I got into the deeper water, it is like swimming in, how could I describe it? It's like swimming in tea.
It's that kind of, that stained kind of bog color water.
Yeah, it's like bog water. It is like, for like, say, half a foot, it's clear, and then it turns into this, like, kind of tea stained, like, peaty black darkness. And it's kind of a little bit oily feeling from all the algae in there. And I was like, oh, this is so pleasant. I love it.
Sounds gorgeous.
Yeah, it was really, really nice. So I took the pictures and I got out. No, I didn't. I had a swim for half an hour and it was really pleasant. And I always wanted to do it, so I did it. So that was fine. So the next day we decided to do a little boat tour on a rib. We had a great guide and he was really, really cool. It was pissing rain, of course. It was Scotland, so we got drenched, but it was brilliant. And we were, like, on this rib going really fast. And we zoomed up, like, the whole length of the lake, which is, like, 22 miles, I think. It's really big. So I wasn't, like, looking for Nessie or anything. I was just, like, looking around the place. Mm-hmm. And we were chatting to the chap after who guided us. He was really, really nice. And he was like, I said something about swimming, and he was like, did you swim in here? And I was like, yeah, I went swimming in here yesterday. And he was like,
I wouldn't swim in Loch Ness for all the money in Scotland.
And I was like, oh, like, why? And he was like, there's something down there. And I was like, oh, yeah, Nessie guide, of course, there's something down there. But Will, there are things down there. There's something down there. Because that boat that we were on, its sister boat, has found these sonar pictures. They're only from 2 years ago, so it was kind of during COVID, so I don't know if a lot of people like have like seen this. And okay, it's not a photo of Nessie, but if you look at the sonar picture that I showed you that this boat captured, it's from the Inverness Courier. I sent you a little link to it there. Mm-hmm. And when they were doing like a routine like sweep of the loch, like one day that they were out, they always have the sonar on, they're always looking at it. They had found very, very little or nothing of note. They found something on the bottom of the loch that is 10 meters long. So it's like 23 feet long and a meter wide. So about like 4 feet wide. That is moving and is sitting on the bottom of the loch. And can I just say, the bottom of the loch is 500 feet below the surface. Like, Loch Ness is so fucking deep. It's the largest freshwater lake, I'm gonna say, in Europe. I think it's one of the largest in the world. It's so fucking deep. And I literally could not see my hand if I put it a foot down deeper in the water. And this guy said to me that there was a chap swimming in the lake, a young boy swimming in the lake that I had been in the day before, and something had bit him on his arm and he needed an amputation afterwards.
First of all, I didn't know you could swim that deep. Fair fucking place, yeah. And for sonar to pick that up as well is an achievement. I think we could venture into the Olympics. No, it's serious. In all seriousness, do you think maybe they just planted something down there? So, and then be like, oh, keep it going. Get the money in. Do you know, like, planted a thing, let it sink down. Then did their sonar. Listen, be like, oh, something's down there.
Well, after the guy who said that he danced the snake out of the water with his magic pipe, and after the other guy who put the fiberglass hump in there, like, you wouldn't doubt them. You wouldn't doubt them. But like, how this thing is moving, like, it's not moving fast or whatever, but the sonar picked up that there's movement there and it's on the bottom of the loch. Like, what is it? Like some kind of like robot android thing that they've put down in there to get a few more quid off the tourists?
It could be just like a float thing that they've put down really deep and tied like concrete stones to the bottom so it'd stay down there. No.
You're such a cynic.
Who knows?
I am going to say, I'm just going to tell you about what the skipper of the boat said this day. It was a bit of a dreich day. Dreich means, in Scotland, means like grey and rainy and shit. Like a lot of days in Ireland as well. And we only had 12 passengers on board. I was skippering because the usual skipper had a day off, said Mr. McKenzie, 49, who runs the company with his wife, Debbie. We were out at halfway point off Invermorriston, where we turn around. The water is 199 metres, not even 500 metres deep, 620 feet deep there. The passengers were quite excited because we had just spotted a sea eagle. But then I saw on the sonar something more eye-catching. It was right bang smack in the middle of the loch at 170 metres down. Because the boat was doing 10.7 knots, I was unable to detect the exact movement of it, but it was big, at least 10 metres. The contact lasted 10 seconds while we passed over. I've been on the loch since I was 16 years old and I've never seen anything like it. We've had contacts in the past, but nothing like this. We have real state-of-the-art sonar on the new boat. It doesn't lie. It can't lie. It captures what is there. Bam, bam, bam. So right, if it's not the robot thing tied down with concrete that you think that they might have put on the bottom of the lake, then what is it, right? So a lot of people think that maybe it's eels. There is a lot of eel activity in Loch Ness. When some researchers came over several years ago, they found like DNA from like hundreds of different eels now, prehistoric, dead and living in the lake. But the thing is about it, like, freshwater eels only really grow to maybe maximum like 4 or 5 feet long. This thing is 10 meters long.
Yeah, and the eel could have bit the boy, no? See, I have it all wrapped up here now. This is just a shim sham. I'm going to go over there with placards and be like, shim sham Loch Ness, shim sham Loch Ness. They'll be like, get out of here, get out of here. I bet you the Men in Black would be there in a second. But really, the Men in Black would be the locals. Been like, please leave. This is how we survive.
Well, it probably was an eel who bit the child. But what kind of fucking size of an eel would it be? This is the thing. Like, the eels that live in fresh water, like, even the biggest eels. I've sent you a picture of the biggest cat, one of the biggest catfish ever caught. And one of the biggest freshwater eels. Now, look at them. Like, they're not that big. Are they?
No. I think it's two separate things. I think your man on the boat, like, talking about that child, which did that happen, but let's say it did. That was maybe a gigantic eel that bit the boy. And the sonar thing is just, like, a thing that's tied to the bottom of the ocean. Or bottom of the lake, just for...
How dare you? This is what? Messy. I am absolutely what? Disgusted at your reaction to this. Listeners, could you please write in with your notes of disgust for Will's cynicism for my first story back,
I'm
trying
not
to
going
prove
against
that I
you,
had an
I'm
actual
saying.
Encounter oh. Loch Ness Monster. And Will say, oh no, it's nice, it's not true. Well, it's better than the shit you served up to us last week. So, thanks everyone for listening. I'd like to know what you think about the Loch Ness Monster. After my little trip this year, I'm back on the side of a total believer. I don't think it's like a dinosaur type thing that looks like a dinosaur. I think it's an eel that's unbelievably big.
I don't think it's a dinosaur thing that looks like a
yeah,
dinosaur.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's one of those. I don't think it's what we might imagine it to be, but I think it's a fucking eel that nobody has ever seen the likes of before. And it can run across land.
Whoa, you were after that. That went up a gear there at the end. You just threw that in. Also, I want to know is, like, why didn't they go back with their boat and do a rerun of the sonar?
They do. They do it. Like, they do it every day. Like, that boat is out, like, every day. But that's the first major contact with it that they've had. Like, the lake is huge, Will. The lake is absolutely huge. So they were just lucky that they ran into it that day.
I think no.
Well, do you know what? I think that eel.
No, Your Honour. I rest my case.
Is having more of a social life and more celebrity status than you are at the moment. So on a scale of Will versus Nessie, I'm thinking Nessie 7, Will 0.
Well, it Will probably 0. Is because it's world famous. Like, you can't compare me to the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, I can. Oh, I can. Last week, you compared me to, what was it? A warthog?
Oh, we got disconnected.
A warthog, some kind of beastly, kind of piggy kind of a thing. Yeah, I think it was within 5 minutes of us restarting this podcast. And with that, I'd like to say thank you for listening. We love you. Thanks for all the support.
Thank you very much.
It's been really, really touching in our private places.
Thank you. Your autographs will be in the post. I am signing. That's just, they all fell on the ground there. I am signing them as fast as I can, and Annie's posting them for me. They will be with you as soon as possible.
Stay
thank
safe
you. Thank you.
And join
thank
us you. When Will returns with another mystery of the unexplained.
Of the unexplained. I can't hear your voice. It keeps dropping in and out. So I presume it's of the unexplained. Explained.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.